Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. I'm Reverend Cora Glass. It's great to be with you this morning. We are here to worship in our pursuit to know God, love God, and serve God. Right now, we're in the middle of a worship series called Sing It Again, where we're exploring some of the hymns of our faith and their connection to our lives. We would welcome you to find in your bulletin this morning the connection card. This is our way of connecting with you and for you to let us know that you're here and how you might want to be connected to the life of this church. There's plenty of places to check off things that you're interested in doing, and we'll be in touch with you. You can put those connection cards in the offering basket as it comes by later in the worship service. If you're worshiping with us online, we are so glad to have you. We hope that you will also find where you can let us know of your presence and what you're interested in joining us with virtually. Also in the pews are prayer cards. This is a one way that you can let our clergy and leadership staff know what is on your heart in prayer. You can fill that out and put that in the offering plate as well. I want to welcome you on behalf of our worship leaders and our pastoral staff, Pastor Lynn, John, and Lindsay. We are also glad to have you here. If you have a child or infant that is interested in Sunday school or nursery care, that is available. And if you find an usher at the back of the room, they can help direct you to where those are downstairs. We have a couple announcements for the good of our community. Coming up soon is our Vacation Bible School on July 21st through 24th. You can see there the website where you can register both to be a volunteer or for a child to be a participant. More importantly, we make VBS happen through your generosity and donations. And out in the hall, there are two easels that have donation requests. Part of the week will be making lunches for NOAA at Central, one of our partners in Detroit. And so we ask that you look at that board and see if there's a generosity there that you can fulfill. Our second announcement is the All Church Outdoor Worship and Picnic coming on August 2nd. You can see more details about that in your bulletin or on the slide above. This is a great time that we can join together with our friends at Whitmore Lake Campus for an all-church worship service and picnic and a bounce house. So please come join us and bring the young ones in your life or the young at heart that will enjoy that bounce house experience. On July 3rd, there is another opportunity to join us at the Whitmore Lake campus, and that's to view the fireworks. So please come and join us for that great event. Bring your own chairs and blanket, and we'll enjoy a fun evening. And finally, there's some times to help us with Vacation Bible School decoration days. This is a large effort leading up to our Vacation Bible School week. And so if you can drop in to help make any of these times or dates, to do some crafting and decorating, we would love your help. Again, you can check on your connection card times that you're interested. With that, I ask us to rise and sing our opening song and song of the day, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Vince Progar, and I'm happy to once again be your liturgist for today's worship, and I invite you to join me in the opening prayer. Lord God, you give us amazing songs of praise to sing. Help us to sing joyfully, lifting up all the gratitude and love we have for your presence in our lives. Help us to celebrate the joyful times and bring joy to the difficult times through music. In your name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from Psalm 96, 1 through 4. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell us of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. I'm Pastor Lindsay, one of the pastors that serves the congregation, and it is a great joy to be with you and worship on this glorious Sunday morning as we're doing this Sing It Again sermon series, as we're looking at these fun hymns and thinking about how what's a little bit of a story behind the writer or behind the hymn or behind the author, and what are these songs and how do they sing to our lives today? And so we're finding ourselves thinking of this first hymn, Oh For a Thousand Tongues to Sing, that we opened our time of worship together. Vince had an opportunity to share a psalm for us, and those psalms are songs of praises. They're songs of joy, they're poetry, they're hymns, they're praise songs, and I want to add to the praise that Vince shared, and I want to also share with you Psalm 100. These words say, oh, shout for joy to the Lord, all of the earth. And serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs, and know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh, good and glorious God, we give you thanks for music, for hymns, for songs and melodies, for songs that get stuck in our heads and that cannot get out. We give you thanks for a time to worship and praise you. We give you thanks for your love and your grace and your mercy and a fresh start each day.
As we come to worship, whether online in our jammies at home or on the couch or in the sanctuary here in church community, we pray, God, that you might speak to us, that you might warm our hearts in a new and a strange way, that we might hear your voice. Lord, whatever it is we're seeking for this morning, whether it is your love and your grace and forgiveness, or whether it is encouragement and guidance and direction, we pray, Lord, that we might find you and meet you here and feel your presence. Oh, Lord, may we open our hearts and minds and worship to you this day. And Lord, as we come to this time, as we think on the scripture and on this hymn, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that it would be pleasing in your sight, you God, who are our rock and our redeemer. Oh God, I give you thanks this day. Amen. I'd invite you to open up your hymnal book there, get it in the pew back behind you, and if you're worshiping online, grab your faithful cell phone and Google search, Oh, 4,000 Tongues to Sing. It's on page 57. Crack that hymn right open. Crack that open. Oh, these words, it says, Oh, 4,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. This fantastic hymn, which has been in our hymnals for such a long time, is written by the great hymn writer, a fellow named Charles Wesley. Is this the name you've heard before? Charles Wesley, gosh, he's quite old if he was still living today. He was born in Epworth in England. The year was 1707. Now, he was the younger child of quite a large family. He's the younger brother of a gentleman named John Wesley, and perhaps you've known this name, John Wesley, if you've come to a United Methodist Church before, if you've learned a little bit of our church history. John Wesley is known as being the founder of the Methodist movement, which would then eventually become what we know as the United Methodist Church here today. And did you know something really fun? Today is John Wesley's birthday. Happy birthday, John Wesley. If he was still living, he would be 323 years old. He was born in 1703. I'm giving you a little history lesson today. I've been carrying this around in my pocket since Pentecost Sunday, waiting for John Wesley's birthday. So here we are. And certainly John was a critical part in the early Methodist movement, but his younger brother Charles was equally influential, and he was a great composer of so many hymns. Do you know how many hymns he wrote? Let's play a little Price is Right game where you bid, right? Do you know how many hymns he wrote? More than 110. More than 323. You are so close there. He is known for writing about 6,000 hymns in his day. Charles, he wrote about 6,000 hymns. Well, these two brothers, they grew up as preachers' kids. Their father, it was Samuel Wesley, he was an Anglican priest in England there, and he served the famous St. Andrew's Church for many years in Epworth. And he was a passionate preacher, and of course he was very influential, I would like to think, in the lives of his children. But Samuel wasn't the only person that had a great impact on their kids' lives. Their mother probably had an even greater influence in some ways. Susanna Wesley was their mother, and Susanna was an incredible mother. She raised 19 children. I know, we're all gasping at the thought of 19 children. Can you imagine that? And as she gave birth to these children, John was the 15th of the 19 kids, if you're into birth order, and Charles was the 18th of 19 kids, again, if you're into birth order. But Susanna Wesley was this amazing mother that must have had incredible patience, I think, but she took the faith formation of her children oh so very seriously. She would meet one-on-one with her children throughout the week, teaching them scriptures and having little Bible stories and Sunday school lessons, and she did it all around the kitchen table. It wasn't just the kitchen table where the family broke bread and had meals, but at the kitchen table there at the parsonage in Epworth, Susanna would take this sacred space and they'd learn Bible stories about Jesus and they would grow and they would learn together. And their home became a great place of spiritual formation and learning. But it was actually the second home that they would live in, because when Charles was only 2 years old and his brother John was only five, unfortunately their family woke up in the middle of the night and they were experiencing a terrible fire at the Epworth Parsonage. And it was a cold February morning, the 9th of February in 1709, when the family woke up in the middle of the night and the roof was on fire. And the family escaped to the gardens, and little John was supposed to follow behind, but John got scared, and he didn't follow behind, and instead the flames of the roof are on fire, and fearful that he wouldn't escape, the family begins to pray, and then all of a sudden, some of the neighbors have an idea, and they form this human-type ladder. As John goes out to the window and he's waving and calling out to the window, and the neighbors form this kind of human-like ladder, and they're able to grab John just and pluck him from the fire just as the roof is burning and collapsing. And then his mother famously said he was like a brand plucked from a burning fire, and she believed that John would go on to do incredible things. And certainly he would go on to do great things. It's true that John Wesley would go on to do great things. He was pivotal, of course, in the Methodist movement. I don't think we'd be here today without him. But that younger brother, Charles, oh my, my, he did great things too. That hymn writer of 6,000 hymns. And those young men, they would go off eventually to attend school at Oxford University in England. And there it was Charles. Let the record state, it was Charles that helped start those early prayer meetings that would become known as the Holiness Clubs. And the Holiness Clubs were those spaces where people would join in small group community for prayer and fasting and learning and reading of the scriptures and sharing of communion and breaking of bread and keeping one another accountable and growing in faith. And it was those Holiness Clubs that really started to launch and bring some breath to this revival, this Methodist movement taking place. Upon graduation from Oxford, eventually both gentlemen were ordained in the Anglican Church. They both were preachers. And Charles was not only a great preacher and then wrote thousands of sermons as well, but those 6,000 hymns. Unfortunately, only 23 of Charles's sermons remain today, so he's more known as that hymn writer. We can open up Wesley John's collection of works and read his sermons, but if you want to find a sermon of Charles, it's still out there. So the boys, the gentlemen, they started their ministry in England, but eventually, did you know that they became missionaries? That's how they came to this land, this space. They became missionaries to the colony in Georgia in 1735, and their time there took a great boat ride over across the pond, and it was a hard, kind of dangerous, stormy, kind of not so great a journey over there. And Charles, his ministry was quite short while in Georgia. He eventually returned to England, and John was there for a little bit of time, but things sort of soured out. There was a romantic relationship that didn't quite work out. There was a communion little scuttlebutt here and there, refusing to give communion to somebody he was dating, and didn't quite go so well. Any other Methodist pastors in the congregation remember that story? I need a refresher course on that one. But John eventually returned back to England with his brother. And then the story really starts to get kind of interesting. It was Pentecost Sunday. It was May 21st, Pentecost Sunday, 1738, and Charles has this powerful experience. His heart is open. He professes faith in Jesus Christ. He firmly gives his life to Christ. And even though he'd been ordained, even though he'd served as a missionary, it was Pentecost Sunday, 1738, that Charles truly had a profound conversion experience and placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And then 3 days later, His older brother, on the 24th of May in 1738, his older brother, John Wesley, had what we probably know as that heart was strangely warmed experience there at Aldersgate. And John's heart is also strangely warmed, and he too gives his life to Christ. And with these two brothers, their hearts strangely warmed in an interesting way. They felt called to continue to serve God with their full life and their full hearts. And their hearts being strangely warmed, their ministry continued to unfold as they preached in the fields, as they ministered to people, as they paved the way and built up the Methodist movement. A year later, on Pentecost Sunday, Charles, I would imagine, grabbed a quill pen or something. He sat down and he wrote a poem, which would be turned into a hymn, which is how we ended up with "O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing," hymn number 57 in our hymnal. Celebrating the anniversary of his conversion and of his placing his faith in Jesus Christ, he sat down and he wrote this, which eventually, first was 18 stanzas. Could you imagine singing 18 stanzas? Thank goodness it got shortened to 7. We'd be singing a while. And Charles, he would say, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace." And Charles sat down and he wrote this great poem, this great hymn, as he shared his faith in Christ. It was an anniversary of his conversion experience. And, you know, 300 some years later, here we are singing it yet today. These guys, these incredible Wesley brothers of Susanna and Samuel, made quite an impact on this world through their preaching, through their teaching, through their hymn writing, through their songs of praise to God. And those are the roots from which we come. What makes your heart sing? What gets you up in the morning? What brings so much joy and gladness to you that you can't help keep from doing it? What makes you want to sing praises to our God? Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing our great Redeemer's praise. What makes you sing as you come alive, as you turn to the hymns of or the great psalms of Psalm 100, or as you sing the psalms of Psalm 96 in our Bible? What joyful song is in your heart that makes you come alive and praise to God? There might be something different for each of us sitting around the congregation this day. For some, they come alive and they sing praises to God as they're quilting and they're serving in that way. And others come alive and they sing praises to God as they're helping lead others in the faith through Bible study. And some people's hearts come alive and sing praises to God as they're serving in mission or serving at the tech board or welcoming people into the church or leading our children or working with our youth or serving in the community or doing missions around the world or being a part of United Methodist Women in Faith or some other amazing avenue. What makes your heart sing and come alive? We've recently celebrated the birthday of the church on Pentecost Sunday, and we can celebrate John Wesley's birthday today. And we can think about those men and the great ministry that they did, and this call as people of faith to continue serving, to continue singing, to continue giving praises to God. And we're called to do that. But maybe you're also gathered in worship this day and your heart is weary and you're not ready to quite sing praises to God. Maybe your soul is longing and you're feeling some hurt and you're feeling some wrestlings. Or maybe yet you haven't yet placed your faith in Jesus Christ. I'd invite us to pray this day. I'd invite us to pray that God might continue to direct your heart and life, that you would live in a way so as to sing praises to God, so as to serve God with all of your heart. And I'd invite us to pray that maybe perhaps there is somebody today that would like to share their faith in Christ. May we pray this day and continue to sing praises to God. Oh, good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the hymns, the great songs that come alive, that sing to us and speak to us. We give you thanks for the Wesley brothers and the call that you placed upon their lives, being plucked from a burning fire, being sent to Georgia, lifting their lives in service to you. And so, God, we pray that we might also lift our lives in service to you. And Lord, we also pray and give thanks and rejoice for the amazing love and grace given to us through Jesus Christ. We offer our hearts, we offer our lives to you. May we feel your grace. May our hearts be strangely warmed. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, come, as we place our lives in yours, as we profess our faith in you and seek to follow in your way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Be all that I have. Gary, that was lovely.
My name is Rose Bledsoe, for those who don't know me, and I am honored to be asked to share the congregational prayer this morning. I would like to draw our attention to the beautifully crafted prayer quilts, which will be gifted to Tracy and Judy, following the tithes and prayers we will provide as we leave the sanctuary this morning. Let us now be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and merciful Creator, we are grateful to have this time of being able to step outside without a jacket or a snowsuit while we live on popsicles, ice cream, and lemonade. We pray fervently, however, for those who have no refuge from the extreme heat. Help them to find safe places and safe methods to find relief. We in these United States most often have no concept of how the rest of the world copes with harsh environment and lack of survival resources, even as many who live here have no shelter. I read the news today, oh Lord. From the 60s and 70s, the Beatles, and a lot of timely, we would call it maybe protest music, but things haven't changed a great deal. We offer additional prayers for the nation of Venezuela following two major earthquakes. Although relief and rescue teams are arriving from many international organizations, multiple families and individuals still struggle with vast personal losses and still search for missing friends and family members. Next weekend, God, we will celebrate 250 years of being allegedly united. Guide us to observe common sense and safety practices as we celebrate this ideal, and help us to recognize and acknowledge that we have much room for improvement. We pray, Lord, that you grant us the courage to stand against injustice where we see it and to demonstrate the principles laid out by Jesus' example. Teach us the immeasurable value of compassion. Open our eyes to the disparate educational levels and coping skills present in our neighbors as well as persons across the globe, and inspire a vision that impels us to reach out to others less fortunate. When will we ever learn? When will we ever learn? We pray that we can take time to rejoice at the marvel of your creation while we embrace the ideal of a more perfect union with liberty and justice for all, ensuring domestic tranquility and promoting the general welfare. Let us settle in at this time and take our concerns, our gratitude, and our praise to our God in silent prayer. Now let us join in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We come to a time to share our offerings that God might multiply them for the work of God's kingdom. We ask that the ushers come forward at this time, and we also invite Greg Kushner to come forward and share with us a mission moment about juvenile lifers.
Good morning. I'm here this morning following up
on our church commitment to the Juvenile Lifer Mission and to provide a reminder of what that mission is and how we are doing. Some of you may be hearing this for the first time. Our church agreed to sponsor two juvenile lifers, Mike Zuniga and Johnny Hickerson, in late 2025. The Juvenile Lifer program provides books and kind notes, monthly and quarterly stipends for their personal use. The stipends provide Mike and Johnny spending money for personal items. Mostly, this money goes toward purchasing stamps and envelopes, allowing them to communicate to the outside world. Mike and Johnny were both sentenced to life in prison when they were minors. In 2012, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional to sentence a minor to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Since that ruling, 179 out of about 378 minors sent to prison for life have been released through the actions of SATO, which is the State Appellate Defender's Office. Since the start of our mission, members of our church have provided 18 books and notes to both Mike and Johnny. We have donated over $200 for the first two quarters of this year to their spending accounts. As you can see, one of the inmates, Mike, is an artist. He likes books on art history, and Johnny likes books on education. Another part of our mission provides life essentials for juvenile lifers that achieve release from prison. Life essentials provide the basics, such as clothing. That's just an example of the purchase. Basically, it's basic items like hygiene, clothes, hoodies, that sort of thing, to give them a start when they get released. An anonymous member of our church kindly donated the necessary $350 to purchase the items you see on the screen. So in summary, the Juvenile Lifer Mission provides books and kind notes on a monthly basis, a quarterly stipend for personal use, which is $50 per inmate, and when it's necessary, $350 for life essentials upon release from prison. We have opportunities for monthly sponsors for books and notes for September, November, and December. We have opportunities for third and fourth quarterly donations. The $350 life essential donation is based on need. If anyone would like to be a life essential sponsor, that would really be great. To sponsor either Mike or Johnny, please check with me after the service or use the sign-up genius available on the church website or let the church office know of your interest. Just one final note on this. September, if you do use the sign-up genius, will indicate that it's full. It's not. So if September, if you would like to sponsor an inmate in September, just see me and I'll make sure that that happens. Okay? Thank you very much.
Let us pray. Lord of all, bless the offerings we bring to the mission and ministry of this church today. Inspire us with your holy presence through the ministry of music. Bless the music we prepare, the music we perform, and the music we listen to. Amen.
The triumphs of his grace. I'm an alto. I started that way too high. But this is my hope. This is my hope. Three hopes for you today. I hope that you may go forth from this time of worship and your heart may sing, and that you may go forth and do that thing to which God has called you that helps your heart just absolutely sing. My second hope is that if your heart is feeling strangely warm, that you may continue to feel the love of God and the peace of Jesus with you. And my third hope, as you leave this time of worship, I hope that you go out into the community room, or if you're joining online, I hope you'll share this with someone in the days to follow. This is my hope. I hope you will share with somebody in the community room a time in which your heart has been strangely warmed by God. Perhaps you have a story of faith that you could share with someone, or a way in which you can talk about God working in your life and how you've experienced God's grace. It might not be Aldersgate in London like Wesley experienced, but how has your heart been strangely warmed, and how do you know God's grace? I pray that you'll share those stories this morning. And may the love of God, the peace of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you this day. Go forth to sing and to praise and to share God's love. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.